Blog Talk Radio. evening, sister and evangelist Montel Fields. I'm Brian Fouts.
And I'm Leah Fouts.
And this evening, we are excited to be back here on Reaching Out Radio, where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. And for those of you in the listening area, tonight's a little different. We're going to be on this evening, and Leah and I are with Hazak Ministries. Our ministry was started with the vision to bring hope, healing, and encouragement to those who are hurting, that are lost, or hopeless.
The word Hazak is a Hebrew word. It means to make or be strong, to strengthen, to sustain, to support, and to encourage. We hope that you, our listeners, will be encouraged with our message today.
And if you missed last week's radio program, part three of Back to Your Future, you can always go back to the Reaching Out Radio website at www.reachingoutradio.com, or you can go to blogtalkradio.com and just type in www.blogtalkradio.com/Fields Family Outreach Ministries. Again, that's blogtalkradio.com/Fields Family Outreach Ministries. There you can find all of our previous shows, and you can listen to them free on demand.
Also, we wanted to remind you that today our sister Montel will not be on the air with us. So if you'd like to contact us, you can send us an email with your questions and or comments to brian@hazakministries.com. That email again is brian@hazakministries.com.
And we'll be doing the live show again today, and we can, like Leah just said, we can be alerted when an email comes in. So if we're talking and all of a sudden you kind of hear something goes ding in the background, that's just my sound system telling me that we've got an incoming email. And that's our way of our computer kind of speaking back to us. So again, if you want to call in this evening, if you've got a comment or a question, just get on your computer and send it to brian@hazakministries.com.
And we look forward to hearing from you. Before we start, I'd like to open the program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we pray for this evening's program that you would touch hearts, change lives because of the words that you've given us to share. We pray for protection for Montel and her family. We pray for Reaching Out Radio against any technical difficulties and against any demonic powers in the airwaves. We pray for her family, her ministry, and for those who support Reaching Out Radio. Pray for us, for Hazak Ministries, and for the Lord to continue to use us to bring a message of hope, healing, and encouragement. We just ask all these things and praise you, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Well, greetings from the hill in New Ulm, Texas.
Good evening, y'all.
And before we get started, Lee and I just want to share with you an important reminder with regards to our topic and discussion this evening.
Our hope and prayer is that this show would be informational, educational, and should provide you, the listener, with some great ideas to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. So, Brian, let's get started.
She loves you, yeah.
Whoa, hey. What are you singing?
Hey, don't you know what today is? It's 1963 on October the 13th, and Beatlemania has begun.
Oh, yeah, Beatlemania.
That's right. The Beatles appeared on the popular BBC television show called Sunday Night at the Palladium and performing such songs as She Loves You, From Me to You, I'll Get You, and Twist and Shout.
Oh, my, that must have been a crazy evening. I actually remember them on the Ed Sullivan Show.
Were you there on the Ed Sullivan Show?
No, sir.
Oh.
I was watching it as a tiny child.
There you go. Well, it was a pretty crazy evening out there in the UK. They say that 15 million people in the UK alone watched the live performances on television. And while thousands of fans packed nearby Argyle Street just to catch a glimpse of the group.
Crazy. That is just too crazy.
Well, and here it is, something else that's interesting, and this is, we're going to talk about our Jewish history tonight. Today, in 1843, B'nai B'rith was founded in New York City by Henry Jones and 11 others. B'nai B'rith means Sons of the Covenant, and they organized the first lodge in November. and they elected Isaac Dettenhofer as their first president.
Okay, so what is so important about this group?
Well, this fraternal organization went on to become a national leader in charity work and disaster relief. And in 1913, it formed what is now known as the Anti-Defamation League, which was used to combat anti-Semitism. And today, there are some 500,000 men and women who are members of B'nai B'rith.
Now, that is really neat. I didn't know all of that.
And here's another interesting part of Jewish history. Leah, do you know what happened today in 1881?
Gosh, I haven't the foggiest.
Well, it was on this 13th day of October that Eliezer ben Yehuda and friends agreed to use the Hebrew language exclusively in all of their conversations.
Okay, and this is important because...
Well, because as a result of this, Leah, that language, the Hebrew language, had not been spoken as a mother tongue since the 2nd century B.C., and it would once again become the national language of Israel.
Who knew? You know, that does make sense, because after they were dispersed from Israel, they probably lost a lot of the language, being forced to speak the language of the countries that they were living in.
That's right. And now it's the year 54 A.D. on this date, and Nero would succeed Claudius to become the new Roman emperor.
Hey, is that the guy that burned down Rome and fiddled while he did it or something?
Yeah, that was about 64 A.D., and they say
yep.
He did play his fiddle while Rome burned.
Well, here's something that's just out of this world.
Seriously?
Yes, it was 1773, and Charles Messier had made a great discovery.
A great discovery? Not just a small discovery, but a great discovery?
Yes. He discovered a brand new galaxy out in outer space.
You're kidding me, right?
No. While Mr. Messier was hunting for objects that could confuse comet hunters, he found this galaxy.
Comet hunters, are those kind of like the forerunners to storm hunters and tornado hunters, or?
No.
Okay.
Read your line.
I did.
No, you...
So is it... All right, I get it. So
you get
it's
it?
In a galaxy far, far away then.
Yes, you silly boy. And he designated this galaxy in his Messier's catalog as MS-51.
Okay, so let me understand this. This galaxy is called MS-51. That's the discovery? It's MS-51?
No, it's not. It would later become known as the Whirlpool Galaxy, and it is 4 million miles from the Milky Way galaxy.
Okay, so this is odd. We've got a Whirlpool galaxy, and we've got a Milky Way galaxy?
That's right, we do.
Okay, so let me get this. So this 4 million miles that you're talking about, is this like the distance between a washing machine and a candy bar?
Okay, Brian, what do you have for us?
Well, it was on this date and 1775 that the Continental Congress gave orders to begin construction of a naval fleet. And this would become the first naval fleet of the colonies and of the future United States of America.
Wow, our first naval fleet. That's pretty cool.
That's right, anchors away. Well, it would be today, back in 1792, that the very first publication came out that was called The Old Farmer's Almanac, under the graduating hand of its first editor, Robert B. Thomas. The premier issue of The Old Farmer's Almanac was published in 1792 during my good friend George Washington's first term as president.
Oh, yeah.
And although many other almanacs were being published at the time, Thomas's upstart almanac became an immediate success. In fact, they say by the second year, circulation had tripled from 3,000 to 9,000. And back then, the almanac cost nearly 6 pence, or about 9 cents.
Wow, all of that for 9 whole cents?
You betcha. Now, for you youngsters out there, an almanac, by definition, that there is a book that records and predicts astronomical events.
Like What kind of events?
Well, you know, like the rising and the setting of the sun, for instance.
Could this include the moon as well?
Oh, yeah, that'd be the moon. And this would also include things like, you know, the tides and the weather and other phenomenon that, and with respect to other things due to time.
Well, didn't they have other almanacs around that time?
Well, that's a great question, old girl. They did.
So, God, you've got me tickled now. So what made the old farmer's almanac different from the others? It was older?
Well, you see, his format wasn't real novel, no pun intended, but Thomas's astronomical and weather predictions, they were far more accurate than the other ones. And the advice that he listed was far more useful, not to mention that the features were far more entertaining.
So that's why the people preferred his almanac over the others?
Well, yeah, but this was really cool. It says, based on his observations, Thomas used a complex series of natural cycles to devise a secret weather forecasting formula.
Ah.
And the formula that he brought, it had these unusual and weird accurate results, and it was traditionally said to be about 80% accurate.
Gosh, that's a pretty high rate for being accurate, especially about the weather.
Well, and then there's this. They say that even today, his formula is tucked away in a black tin box down at the Almanac offices there in Dublin, New Hampshire.
Ah, well, for you Texans out there, on this day in 1845, Texas ratified a new state constitution.
Woo, that's cool.
That's right, it is cool. On this day in 1845, a majority of the citizens of the Independent Republic of Texas approved a proposed constitution that, when accepted by the Congress, would make Texas the 28th American state. How's that?
Yeehaw! The Texas Republic becomes a state. Boy, that must have felt like a breath of fresh air to many of them there citizens of the state.
And speaking of air, it was on this day in 1860 that the first aerial photo was taken in the U.S. Actually, it was in Boston from a balloon.
A balloon, you say?
Yep. James Wallace Black, who was best known for his photographs of Boston, which he took after the devastating fire of 1872, launched his solo career in 1860 with the production of a series of aerial photographs taken from Samuel King's hot air balloon called the Queen of the Air.
The Queen of the Air?
Yeah, like me being the queen of this house.
Yeah, well, I just knew this had to be something that you would have had to have found.
So, Brian, do you have something from U.S. history books today as well?
Well, yes, I do. And for some of you history buffs out there, it would be on this date that the famous Battle of Harper's Ferry would take place.
Well, that place sounds familiar.
Well, it should. You see that there was this guy that was known as a white abolitionist by the time and by the name of John Brown, who wanted to start an armed slave revolt, they say.
Oh, yeah, now I remember.
And they say that with a band of 21 followers, old John Brown raided Harper's Ferry, and he seized a United States arsenal that was right next door. And they say that there was a detachment of U.S. Marines that was led by none other than Colonel Robert E. Lee, along with his aide, Lieutenant J.E.B. Jeb Stuart, and they overpowered the men and took John Brown prisoner. Now, here's an interesting twist to this. They say that that raid would become the catalyst for the Civil War, or better known as the War Between the States.
Wow. Now, that is some interesting behind-the-scenes history.
You know, it's kind of like one of those Paul Harvey stories. And now you know the rest of the story.
Okay. Well, I just know you found something odd in history this week. You have that big grin on your face again.
Yeah, I do. It's live. It's straight from the journals of weird history comes this story.
Oh, brother, folks, here it comes.
It's the year 1957, and ABC Television presents a star-studded new musical variety special sponsored by the Ford Motor Company, featuring Frank Sinatra, Bing Crosby, Rosemary Clooney, and the Four Preps.
Wow, those were some big-name entertainers.
Yes, it was. And guess what? They were all singing the praises of a brand-new car that has just been made by Ford. It's called the Ford Edsel.
The Edsel? Really? The Edsel? That was a flop. It was a really bad model.
Yeah, and speaking of models, this new model would soon be considered the standard model by which all automobile flops are measured.
Now, that was funny.
Well, and speaking of other flops, it would be in 1967 that Pat Boone, the owner of the Oakland Oaks, sang the national anthem at the first game of the new American Basketball Association.
The Pat Boone, the singer, sang the national anthem and was an owner of a basketball team?
Yep, and his team went 60-18 and won the American Basketball Association championship. But just like the Edsel, they flopped at the box office and the team later had to fold.
Okay, so can we go on to the rest of sports history now?
You bet. This live in, it's 1915, and the World Series is happening. The Boston Red Sox have just beaten the Philadelphia Phillies 4-1.
So what made this game interesting? I mean, I know there has to be more to this story.
You are so right, my dear. Ah. They say that in their only World Series appearance before 1950, the Phillies won Game 1. That is, before being swept by the other team for the rest of the way.
Uh-oh.
And they say that it would be 65 years before the Phillies would finally win their next World Series game. But they say that the Red Sox pitching on that day was so strong in that 1915 World Series that the young Babe Ruth was not even used on the mound at all. And they say that Babe only made a one single pitch hitting appearance at the plate.
Wow. Well, for you hockey fans out there, it's 1947, and the first National Hockey League All-Star game is on. The first game was played in Toronto's Maple Leaf Gardens on Canada's Thanksgiving Day, which is October the 13th. That was in 1947. The NHL All-Stars defeated the defending Stanley Cup champion Maple Leafs 4-3.
Wow. So they celebrate Thanksgiving Day in October.
Apparently.
A whole month early. Well, who knew?
So, Brian, what are we doing on today's show?
Well, today we're going to be continuing our series on Back to Your Future. And this is the fourth of our four-part series. And this evening, we're going to be talking about the seven things to do to live a joyful life.
Oh, yeah, this is going to be another fun study today, Brian.
Well, it is. And so, with that, my bride, why don't you get us started?
I would love to. So, everyone, grab your Bibles, or if you're on your computer or have your iPad with you, turn to your favorite Bible program or website link, then go to the Book of Psalms, chapter 119, verse 154.
That's right. And again, we just want to remind our listeners that we're going to be using the New American Standard Bible version unless we have found a different translation to use.
So, just to recap, so far we have shared with our listeners what the words back and future mean.
And those words we talked about mean something for a latter time.
That's right. We shared that to get back to your future means that we needed to return to a former location or direction so that we can be ready for things yet to come.
Kind of like Back to the Future in that movie, huh? Just.
That's right. Have I confused you yet?
No. Well, and then we discussed the first two steps on what to do to live a joyful life.
Oh, yes, we did. Number one on our list was that we needed to remember. Remember your first love, Jesus.
And then we talked about losing that first love in Revelation chapter 2, verse 4.
That verse 4 from the Amplified Version reads like this: "But I have this one charge to make against you, that you have left, abandoned the love that you had at first. You have deserted me, your first love."
And then we shared that number two on our list was that we needed to live a joyful life, was that we had to return. Yes, that means we had to return to our childhood faith.
And Brian, you asked me last time if this was a really hard thing to do.
That I did. And what did you share with our listeners about this childhood faith?
I said, no, it's much easier than you think. We find the answer to that question in Matthew 18, verse 3. In the Amplified, it says, "Truly I say to you, unless you repent, change, turn about, and become like little children, trusting, lowly, loving, forgiving, you can never enter the kingdom of heaven at all."
And then we shared that number three on our list was you have to repent. We have to learn to repent. That is to repent of our sins, and we have to learn to forgive. And as my wife likes to say, let it go. Just let it go. Let it go.
Okay. And Luke talked about that time of refreshing that takes place when we do repent. In Acts 3:19, he wrote, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord."
And that word in Hebrew for that is called shuv, and it means to turn back, means to bring back or to restore, to refresh, and it also means to repair. And then number four on our list was we have to recommit our life back to God.
We read from Proverbs 16, verse 3, the reason to commit our life to the Lord. I'm going to read it from the Amplified Bible again. "Commit your works to the Lord. Submit and trust them to Him, and your plans will succeed if you respond to His will and guidance."
And you know, one of the other reasons to commit or recommit back to the Lord is this, and this is from Psalms 37, verse 5. It reads, "Commit your ways to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it."
I just love that passage as well.
And then what did we finish out with?
We need to learn to trust Him for all things. I just love how Proverbs 16, verse 3 reads, "For asking for the Lord's help. Commit your works to the Lord. Submit and trust them to Him, and your plans will succeed if you respond to His will and guidance."
Well, that's right. And we also need to learn to commit every day to a time of prayer. We've got to start out each day with asking the Lord for His will for our life for the day, for our future, and for the vision that He has for our life.
Last week, we shared number five. We have to learn to remove the idols and obstacles or things that keep you from God.
And what did that word remove mean?
It means to move from a place or position occupied.
Like moving to Texas?
Yeah, I know you got here as soon as you could, right? Hey, that was my line last week.
Yeah, I know it was.
It also means to take off, like removing my boots.
Woo, removing your boots. Well, and that word remove in Hebrew is savav.
And it means to turn about, or turn aside. Also, it means to encircle and to change direction.
To change direction. Well, that's pretty cool. Now, you know, we also talked about removing idols. We shared some information from the Seven Mountain Prophecy book that was written by Johnny Inlow. And in one of those books, and he talked about some mountains, and he talked about the mountains of the Perizzites, or as it's, we found out it was pronounced Perizzi, and he talked about the idols.
He did. I'd like to read this one again.
Okay, dear, it is all yours.
He shared that the word idolatry means the worship of a physical object as a god and the attachment or devotion to something.
And then he continued with this. He said, "An idolater is therefore a person who intensely and often blindly admires someone or something that is not an object of worship. And this, of course, all adds up to the religious deception. The land of the Perizzites or Perizzi and the giants actually represent idolatry.
Then he said, idolatry is dug in deep in the high places. This was Israel's last holdout in its struggle for worship. I believe this is also our struggle as well. Idolatry strips people of their protection and their provision.
That's right, and that was really cool. And, you know, we've got to remember that if we do not remove those idols that keep us from the Lord, then we're going to find ourselves digging a deep trench. Kind of like the old saying goes, here's your shovel, keep digging.
Now, that's kind of funny, but not really, you know?
Well, we sometimes do dig our own grave, so to speak, because, as Johnny Inlow would say, idolatry causes death and lack.
We also talked about different idols in our lives and how and when, whenever you get back to God, you can get back to your future.
And number six on our list of things to do to live a joyful life is we have to learn to redo.
Yes, we have to learn to redo, to go back and begin to redo what we did when we first got saved and began to serve Christ.
You know, and then Lee and I then shared a couple of things that would encourage you to help you to grow in Christ, and those things would help you to get back to your future, because God has some really great things waiting just for you for your future.
One of the most important things that we have to do is we need to pray. Pray that the Lord will lead us in all that we do. In Psalm 25 it reads, make me know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your path. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. For you, I wait all the day.
And we also talked about that it was important that you find a mentor, someone that will disciple you. Now, this could be your pastor. It could be a Sunday school teacher or a small group leader. It could be a friend or a spouse. Ask the Lord to provide you with that special person to teach you in his ways.
And also, read your Bible. Learn to read your Bible daily. It doesn't matter where you start. Every word is from God, and he will direct your steps.
And it's also important to find a church home. You know, a church that is a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, and a Bible teaching church, and that's really important. It's not the church building itself, it's what's on the inside of the walls that counts.
It's true. It's also important to have fellowship. You need to have fellowship with other believers, believers who will help you and encourage you in your walk.
And once again, you have to learn to stay strong in the Lord, and we have to learn to take up that shield of faith, because with God, all things are possible, and that is awesome.
Brian, how can someone listen to last week's message if they want to take some notes or something? Maybe they just weren't able to listen last week.
Well, that's a great question, Leah. And if you missed last week's radio program, part three of Back to Your Future, you can always go to the Reaching Out Radio website out there on Blog Talk Radio, and you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Fields Family Outreach Ministries. Again, that website is www.blogtalkradio.com/Fields Family Outreach Ministries, and there you can find all of our previous shows, and you can listen to them for free on demand. Just listen to it anytime that you got time.
We also would like to remind you folks that today our sister Montel will not be on the air with us. So if you would like to contact us, you can send us an email with your question and or comments to brian@hazakministries.com. That email address again is brian@hazakministries.com.
That's right. And remember, that's Brian, B-R-I-A-N, not Brain, brian@hazakministries.com. And we look forward to hearing from you.
Brian, what is the number seven thing on our list of things to do to live a joyful life?
Well, that number seven is you got to revive. Revive. You got to be on fire for God, girl.
I love it. What a great word, revive.
So we're going to take some time on this last step this evening. So let's read that passage in which Leah started off our program with. So, honey, tune it up. Let them hear what that passage is.
Okay, listeners, please open your Bibles or iPads or computers, and let's turn to Psalm 119, verse 154. I'm going to read this from the Amplified Bible. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me and give me life according to the promise of your word.
And that's such a powerful verse. And you see, and it's a reminder of God's promise. So let's talk about that word revive. What does it really mean when we say revive?
Okay. I really wanted to see what the dictionary had to say other than what I thought it meant.
That's good.
Here is what I found. Revive means to restore life or bring back to life or consciousness, to resuscitate or bring around.
Bring around. It's like football player getting knocked on the game and they snap that pepper sauce up underneath his nose and wakes him up real quick.
No, it's like bring around the rosy.
Oh, no. Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Well, it also means to restore life. And I really like that last one, to resuscitate. If you think about it, it's like bringing the dead back to life.
Yes, it is. Well, it also means to regain life or strength or to give new life or energy. To flourish again or assume new vitality, to become operative or active again.
Active again, that's cool. And to become operative, now that was even cool. Now, you know, I see this as a person who has been given a second chance, you know, to get back into life and to make an impact in someone's life. And so for those of you that are out there, if life is just seems to have passed you by and you've just done all sorts of wrong things, remember that God can forgive you, and when he forgives you and you repent, dude, you got a second chance. This gives you an opportunity to get out there and make a change and make a difference.
That's powerful, and it's encouraging, Brian.
Now, using our verse today of Psalms 119, 154, that word revive in Hebrew is hayah, and it means to live, to have life, to continue in life, and to remain alive, to sustain life, and to live prosperously.
You mean like Spock used to say, live long, live long and prosper.
You're over there, got your fingers separated.
That's
over in your
right.
Hand. I could never do that. Now, that was pretty funny, dear.
Well, I read that it also means to revive and be refreshed, to cause to grow, and to restore.
And if you think about it in today's terms, use the force.
Yeah, Obi-Wan, use the force.
I thought you'd like that. Now, that same word revive in the Greek is anaxaho, and it means to live again, to recover life, to be restored to a correct life.
And this was cool. It also means of one who returns to a better moral state, to revive, regain strength and vigor.
A moral state. Is that like Texas?
Yeah, right, honey.
Which reminds me, here's a great verse that ties this all in together, and this is from Romans 14:9. It says, "For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be the Lord of both of the dead and of the living."
Wow, our Lord, Master and King of all.
So before we get started digging into this verse, I thought it would be kind of important for our listeners to know something about Psalm 119.
Psalm 119 contains, get this, 176 verses, and it's the longest single chapter in the Bible. The author of Psalm 119 is unknown, but most scholars agree that it was written by either David, Ezra, or Daniel.
And each of these proposed authors suffered serious difficulties in their life. And the author of Psalm 119 reflects that in the descriptions of the plots that take place, of the slanders and the taunts against them, against the persecutions and the afflictions. And the persecution and the affliction of the man and the woman of God is a major theme of Psalm 119. And as John MacArthur said, he kind of refers to this chapter as the Mount Everest of all of the Psalms. So let's get back to our primary verse here.
Okay, Psalm 119, verse 154 reads like this. Plead my cause and redeem me. Revive me and give me life according to the promise of your word.
So this past week I'd asked my bride, Leah, a question. And I said, Leah, what do you think the Lord is telling you in this passage of Psalm 119, verse 154?
Hey, I think it's all about asking for help from the Lord, not anybody else. We know that Christ is pleading our case in heaven to God the Father. This verse simply means that the writer knows the Lord and trusts him. We know that Christ came to redeem us, and the writer is asking for an infusion of a more abundant life from Christ. He is also reminding the Lord of what he has promised us in his word.
And when we said revive, we also said that we need to be on fire for God. So, Leah, what do you think that word fire means?
Hot. It can mean the state of combustion in which an inflammable material burns, producing heat, flames, and often smoke, or a flash or spark as of fire, as if of fire, an intense passion.
You know, and it also means to catch fire or to ignite, and to be playing or performing at the height of one's abilities.
Hmm.
And again, I went back to my bride, because she's so smart, and I asked her, I said, so what does this mean to be on fire, God, and not when somebody passes me on the road and you yell out,
are you on fire? They're going so fast. No. Being on fire for God is chasing him every moment that we are awake. It's kind of like we chase him till he catches us. It means to constantly be thinking about Christ. It also means to desire nothing else at all but God. When one is on fire for the Lord, he is thinking about God every moment. He rests in God, and he tells others about his wonderful God, and that God is available to all who call on his name.
You know, and I like the way that Matthew shared about that fire that we should have. And this is from Matthew 3, verse 11, from the NIV. It says, I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I'm not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.
I love that verse. And Luke shared this. This is from Luke 24, 32, from the Amplified. They said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking with us on the road and opening the scriptures to us?
And this last verse is from Acts chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. They said, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And if you're not sure about this fire, I wanted to read some great lyrics to you by Bill Maxwell from his song called Light the Fire. It says, light the fire in my soul, fan the flame, make me whole. Lord, you know just where I've been, so light the fire in my heart again.
Wow, this has been amazing.
And our next part of number 7 is Go Ye.
I love this part. Matthew shared in chapter 28, verse 19, this passage. He said, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
And Lee and I talked about this passage this week. It does not mean that you have to go to China or you have to go to Africa to witness. However, I'd love to go to Ireland.
Oh, but of course you would. You love Ireland. The land, the history, and of course, the music. The Celtic music is in a great deal of your music that you've written.
Ah, tis it is. It soothes the souls, me lass.
So where are we supposed to go?
Well, you know, it could really mean that maybe we're supposed to go across the country. or across your state, or your county, or maybe even to the next town. Or it could be for you to minister at your job or to minister with your family. And here's a tough one for you. It might even be next door at your neighbor's house.
And we should be prepared to share the good news of Jesus Christ.
That's right. And remember that when you tell your story, you actually share his story. So, once again, I went back to the great orator and the person who knows everything in my life, my wife, and I asked her, I said, so, Leah, what do you think go ye means?
Well, in Mark 16, verse 15, Jesus tells us this, and he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right after that, Jesus was taken up to heaven in front of them. Because Jesus told them to spread the gospel, the disciples were eager to do as he had commanded them. And we too are to go ye. We may not face death for sharing Christ with others yet, but we will face some sort of denial and trouble from those who do not claim Christ as Savior or who do not claim that there's even a God. Our task is simply to tell others of Christ and what he has done for them. All we can do is share what we know from the Bible, and then the Lord can take over and convince them himself.
Man, that was awesome, Leah. Which now brings us to our next part, and that is, we are to preach the word. And, Leah, could I get you to read for us Mark chapter 16, verse 15?
Sure, Brian. Here's how it reads. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation.
Okay, so I had another question for you. And that was, so what do you think that it means to preach the word?
The Bible tells us to preach the word to all people. This means simply that we are charged to spread the story of Jesus Christ to any and all people. This is so that none may say that they did not hear.
Read that again one more time.
Okay, hang on. The Bible tells us to preach the word to all people. This means simply that we are charged to spread the story of Jesus Christ to any and all people. This is so that none may say that they did not hear. That's being ready in and out of season.
So, let me ask you. We're supposed to preach the word in and out of season.
That's right. And speaking of preaching, 2 Timothy 4, verse 2 in the King James Version tells us to preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine.
Okay, so while we're on this subject, then here's something that we might want to think about that we could remember. This is actually kind of like being a soldier or a Marine. You see, we have to be ready. We have to be ready and prepared, and we've got to be ready both in and out of season.
You are so right. We have to be ready to go on the spur of the moment and to armor up.
I love it, to armor up. We can't get away from that. And we're supposed to be prepared, active and prepared. And, as you said, Leah, armored up.
And having the shield of faith to go with us.
And I want to read that same passage, 2 Timothy, to you in 4:2 again. But I want to read this from the Amplified Bible because it really hits home on how we should preach. It says, preach the word as an official messenger. Be ready when the time is right and even when it is not.
Wow, I love that. Even when it is not, be ready.
And Paul then continued with this. He said, keep your sense of urgency, whether the opportunity seems favorable or unfavorable, whether it seems convenient or inconvenient, and whether if it's welcomed or unwelcomed, correct those who err in doctrines or behavior, and warn those who sin, and exhort and encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity with inexhaustible patience and faithful teaching.
Well, that was really neat. I especially like the way that this passage says to share the word regardless if it is a favorable or unfavorable time. It's like you're going to hear this whether you want to or not.
There you go. And I love the way that it says to exhort and to encourage those who are growing towards spiritual maturity. And folks, I don't care if you're 8, 18, 38, 58, or 88, we all have something new to learn, and we continue to keep learning something new. And so each and every one of us need to remember that we are always continuing to grow in our own spiritual maturity at our own age. Just because you heard it all when you were 18 and you think you know it all now, there's always going to be something brand new.
You are so right. It seems that when a person is growing in Christ, they tend to go through a period of wilderness in their walk. They stop growing for a while.
They do. And it's like they're kind of stalled in first gear of their pickup truck with a four-speed transmission. They just never seem to shift it into the next gear. And then sometimes they just kick those gears into neutral and they just glide and they don't go anywhere.
Kind of like a top spinning on the floor. It keeps spinning, but it doesn't go anywhere.
Exactly. And the last part of our study is this. You got to receive, because when you receive, you will receive as blessings.
And here's a great scripture verse on blessings. This is from Ephesians 1, verse 3. Blessed be God, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ.
And again, I asked the smartest woman in the world, my wife, to share her thoughts on my next question. And I asked her, I said, so what do you think it means to receive his blessings?
I believe that we will receive blessings from the Lord when we are single-minded in the charge to tell all people of him and the way of salvation in him.
So, you know, it's really important, folks, to have a testimony of what Jesus has done for you. Not only how he forgave you and how he saved you, but in all the things that he's done for you. Because people need encouraging and they need to hear what God has done for you, not what he's going to do for you.
Absolutely. And we also should have a burning fire for him to share the message of the way and tell of his story.
And I just want to leave our listeners with this from the book of Hebrews in 12:28-29. It says, therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service and reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire.
Now, folks, just to recap our study on Back to Your Future, 7 things to do to live a joyful life, we are, number 1, to remember. Remember your first love, which is Jesus, by the way. Number 2, return. Return to your childhood faith.
And we're to repent. That's right. Repent of your sins, forgive, and let go. And we're to recommit. For number 4, we're to recommit our life back to God.
Number 5 is remove. Remove the idols and obstacles or other things that keep you from God. And number 6 is redo. Go back and do the things you did first off when you got saved and began to serve Christ. Read your Bible. Spend time in prayer. Study.
That's right. Number 7, revive. That's right. Revive. Be on fire for God and go ye.
Preach the word to all nations and make disciples. Receive his blessings.
And this also gets us back to our calling and the vision that God's got for our lives. And this will help you to get back to your future. So, remember, stay strong in the Lord and take up that shield of faith.
Folks, tune in next week as we begin our new study series with Steps of Faith, The Basics, Part 1. This is going to be an exciting study that will help you in understanding the basic steps needed in your walk of faith. Glory to God.
And with that, I'm Brian Fouts.
And I'm Leah Fouts.
And we're here with Hazak Ministries, an encouragement ministry here in New Ulm, Texas.
Just as a reminder, folks, we've written a book on how we got into our journey into ministry. It's called From Misery to Ministry, A Walk of Faith Through the Loss of a Loved One. It's a wonderful book that brings hope, healing, and encouragement to those who've lost a loved one. It's easy to read, and it will make an impact in your life. The book is available in both paperback or a special edition hardbound copy as well. We even have an audio book. And yes, Brian and I recorded the audio book.
Ooh, we did. That's right. We did.
In that tiny little room.
Yeah.
You can learn more on how to order this book by visiting our website at www.hazakministries.com. That website address again is www.hazakministries.com.
Ooh, isn't there something else they should know, dear?
Oh, yeah. When you order the book from our website, Brian and I will personally sign your copy of your book or other books.
That's right. If she hasn't broken my hand by then, I could sign that book for you.
We ship the books first class so that you'll have it in 2 to 3 days. And if you buy one for a friend, we'll ship to their address from here as well. They make great gifts.
Wow. Did you say they make great gifts?
I did.
Folks, they make great gifts. And thank you, Leah. And if you'd like for Leah and myself to come and speak at your church, to your men's or women's group, or that special event, or possibly a grief or support group or bereavement group, or maybe even one of your Rotary Club group there, please contact us at 979-357-2215. That landline here is 979-357-2215. And if you can't get us there, we might be on the road. You can reach us at 832-878-8043. That number again is 832-878-8043.
We also want to thank you, the listeners of Reaching Out Radio, for tuning in this day, this afternoon, and for all of you who support this radio station and the ministries that partner with the station. It's an honor to be featured guests here with Evangelist Montel Fields on Reaching Out Radio, where we are reaching out to be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ.
And thank you again, and remember, folks, to
be strong
and
be Hazak.
And with that, we want to just tell our sister Montel that we're praying for her. We're praying for your mom, Maurice. And we look forward to hearing from you soon. And God bless you, and stay strong.
Amen.